Father, we praise you for the joy of being here today and being able to worship you and to sing songs about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, who came from the glories of heaven, the second person of the Trinity, willingly came and became a man through the virgin birth, that he might live the perfect life none of us could live, that he might satisfy those righteous requirements, and be able then to be the pure, spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So that instead of us going to the cross, spending eternity in hell, he took our punishment that day. And that day was sufficient. As he said on the cross, after those hours he hung there, he said, "It is finished." He paid in price, the price in full, for our sins. And what he calls of us to do is to trust in him. And Father, we pray that if there's anyone here today who has not yet put their faith and trust in Christ alone to save them from their sins, that they would do so today, that they would call upon his name to be saved. And for those of us who know the Lord, that we would draw closer to him, closer to you, closer to one another. Father, such a joy to be together with fellow believers, to be the body of Christ, the church here in this world. And we thank you for the honor and the privilege to gather together. May this hour please you. May your Spirit move and work in power in each of our hearts. Bless Pastor as he brings the message. Fill him with your Spirit. Use him to help us see your word clearly and to apply it to our lives by your Spirit's power. We commit this hour to you and pray for your blessing on it all with thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we're going on into Acts again, chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And when it says after Easter, that's the translation they had. When this was translated, it actually should be Passover. But they usually are around about the same time. So that's the way they translate. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers who what had become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Quite an exciting story, isn't it? Think of that. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we can read your word freely. We live in a land where we still have the opportunity to serve you without fear. We pray for those who are under persecution in other lands, our Father, and have to tremble every time they read the Bible. And we pray that you'll bless and restore them, meet their needs in every way. Lord, we do pray today for those who cannot be with us because of sickness. We pray that you'll undertake for them and meet their needs. We pray that you'll give daily grace to those who are suffering, that they might be able to continue on. Lord, we look to you and pray that your holy will might be done in each one of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for the gathering together today, and pray that we might truly have a blessed time together. We do pray, our Father, for our country. We just pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with us, to guide us, help us, direct us. We just pray that we might truly follow in the way of righteousness and truth. Lord, we ask you to guide and help us concerning the upcoming election, that everything will be done according to your will, and that we might have a stable government, and that you will continue to guide and help in every way. Thank you so much for all your blessings to us. Thank you for our salvation and for every good and perfect gift that you send our way. May we love you and serve you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's turn once again to Acts chapter 12. The Lord Jesus promised to build his church, and he said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He trained his disciples and gave them the power of the Holy Spirit that would be with them forever, to enable them to complete the task that he had started, and to enable them to continue on and to accomplish all that he wanted them to do. They went everywhere, preaching the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. They reached not only the Jews, but also many Gentiles came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. These disciples became known as Christians. We saw that last week. And Antioch was the first place that they were called Christians, because the people saw them there and saw that they were like Christ. And so they called them little Christ, Christians. The church has continued to grow and prosper, but not without opposition. And that's what we see here in chapter 12 today, the opposition that came against him. A real spiritual battle was raging as Satan tried to destroy the church. And here we find him using one of the political leaders at that time, Herod the king. Using him through various people, and here is the king who is allowing himself to be an instrument in Satan's hands. You know, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Think of that. We're supposed to be instruments in God's hands, right? And yet, for someone to give himself over and oppose what God is doing, he's actually doing the will of the devil. And so we need to stand against that kind of thing. So we find him here. He moved, it says here in 1st world, let me read this again. About that time, now this is the time, what time was it? We find Paul and Barnabas were getting a collection together to go to Jerusalem and to help the people there. They were in a terrible condition because of persecution. And so they were going to do that. It says, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. You remember the two disciples that Jesus chose, sons of Zebedee? This is the James here that was killed. First of the apostles to die for Christ. He was killed with the sword. That means probably that he was beheaded, like they did so often back in those days. And James fell to the sword and became the first martyr among the apostles. And we know there were some other martyrs. Stephen was the first one to be killed. They stoned him to death, right? But here we have James being killed with the sword. And it says, because he saw it pleased the Jews, that is, the Jewish leaders, those who were against the church, those who thought that the Christians were apostates, hypocrites, or what's the word? Oh, well, you know what I mean. They were, the name's slipping me right now. But anyhow, they didn't like the Christian church, and they wanted to see it got away with. And so they were pleased to see this man executed. You know? Because they thought he was teaching a false truth, false gospel. And so they were pleased with this. So then he also arrested Peter. Peter, you know, was the leader at that time of the Christians, among the Jewish people especially, there in Jerusalem. Peter then was arrested. It says, even in the days of unleavened bread. This was a time after the Passover, and during that period when they were still in a festive mood, and so they wanted to do something special. And so they arrested Peter, and we're going to put him on trial after the holiday. Right? That's the idea. Said these were the days of unleavened bread. So they didn't do it right then, so he was put in prison rather than killed immediately. But that was the idea. They were planning on bringing him to trial and then killing him after the festival was over. So here we find this Herod Agrippa the First. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, the one who tried to kill Jesus when he was just born, you remember? And the Herod family, they weren't very nice people. You know, they really weren't not. They killed each other. You know? Whoever it was they thought might be an opponent, you know, They didn't have elections back then, you know, they just took over when they were. And then whenever they took over, they killed everybody else that might be a threat to them. Really nice civilization here. Anyway, not really. But, so we find this man carrying on the same kind of work that his ancestors had done, and fighting against the church. You know, it's not, it hasn't always been easy, and it's not easy today in so many places to have the church. Some people can't even have a Bible without getting in trouble with the authorities. We here in the United States, thank the Lord, still have liberty. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad to live in America? Boy, I sure am. Some places in this world are really, really dangerous. And so far, we can continue on. I hope for a long time to come. We'll see what happens. And so here he says, what is he saying? Okay, and when it says they're intending after Easter to bring in forth, that means Passover. Okay, we've got that. I mentioned that before. It's important that we do that. At the time they translated this Bible, Easter was, at the same time as the Passover. So they put that in, for the people. Like the day they translate and change something a little bit in order for you to understand this better. Okay. And so that's what the idea is here. So we see the power of Satan at work through this evil king killing the brother of John, James, and then arresting Simon Peter. So Peter was arrested, put in prison, and they were going to put him on trial later. All right? And here, it says in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison. But notice, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. So they called a prayer meeting that would not stop. You know, sometimes they have these certain times, people praying around the clock. You ever seen one of those? Have you been in one of those places? And God is hearing their prayers, their praying without ceasing for Peter. So what's going to happen to dear old Peter? Here they are praying for him. And it says, the night before, Herod was going to bring him forth. That means put him on trial and then kill him, right? The very night before, it says, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Can you imagine? He knew that he was going to go in on trial the next day. He was sleeping between two soldiers, chained to two men, and knowing that he was soon going to be going to heaven. I'm thinking he was. He was soundly. Did you see? Notice. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. They didn't want him to get away, right? Two men chained to him, and two more outside the cell. So how can he get away? And he says, behold, the angel of the Lord. One of his special angels. Now, sometimes when it says the angel of the Lord, it's referring to Jesus himself before he came to earth, right? Over in the Old Testament, we find that sometimes, other times, it may be a special angel. We have different angels for different reasons. As the archangel, Michael's the archangel. And the others are cherubims and seraphim and all these other types of angels, And here we find this, the angel of the Lord came where he was and a light shined in the prison of it. and he smote Peter on the side. Peter was sleeping so soundly, the angel had to wake him up. He had to hit him in order to get him to move. Boy, if that's not, you know, he wasn't worried. You know, we worry about everything, don't we? Do you? Well, maybe you don't. I don't know. You might be more like Peter and trust the Lord more. So often we worry about the slightest little thing. And here Peter was facing death, and he was sleeping. And the angel had to hit him in order to wake him up. And he raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off on his hands. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it. You're set free. God set him free. And, you know, it's wonderful when we realize that God has set us free. If we are in Christ, we are new creatures. We are set free. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or tonight. He'll let Jesus go ahead and rest and trust Him. And when God wants to wake you up, He'll wake you up. Right? That's what the angel did. He hit him and he woke up. He said, "All right, let's go quickly." The angel said, "Put on your clothes. Put on your shoes. And cast your garment about you. Come on, let's move and follow me. Follow me." And he went out and followed him. And he did not know it was true. Peter was still asleep, I think. You know, more or less groggy. You know how it is when you wake up in the middle of the night for some reason or other, and you're still half asleep and don't know where you're going. And sometimes I go to the house, I run into the mirror there in the hallway. You know, that kind of thing. And he might have been still sort of groggy. And he thought to himself, "Hey, this must be a vision I'm seeing." Remember, Peter had seen the vision before of the sheep coming down from heaven and how God had spoken to him about that. And he thought, "Well, this is another vision. I'm really still in jail," but no. He went out, he followed the angel, and when they were first past the first and the second ward, okay, they came to the iron gate that opened up to the city, and they were able to go out, and they passed on through one street, and all of a sudden the angel just left him there. Think about that for a minute. Here, the angel did his job. He didn't ask for thanks. He didn't ask for anything. He just did what God told him to do, and then he was gone. And there was Peter out there on the street all by himself. What's he supposed to do? On the street. And so we find here that he's been set free. God has answered the prayers of his people. They're praying. I just got a letter from one of the missionaries over in Israel. And he goes back and forth to Israel. Anyway, he and his wife are going to be going to constant prayer for Israel and for the people and for their families and all of that. And then God answers the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? That's what it says over in the book of James. And we need to make sure that we are praying. Pray every day. Give God the glory, praise, and then pray fervently. That's what he wants us to do. Trust him. And here we see Peter finally realizes that he has been set free, and he wonders what he's supposed to do now. We find here Peter came to himself. He thought he was dreaming, but then he realized he was really out. And so what did he do? He went to inform the the believers, of the goodness of God to him to encourage them. Now, isn't it encouragement when someone's prayer is answered? You know, sometimes we wonder when we pray about something, is God going to do anything? You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like he's doing very much for a while. But when he does, isn't it a blessing? It is to me. I was so happy when Sylvia told me about the situation there with Janeway. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see how God is blessing and working there in that situation. And in all of our lives, if we'll only stop and think about it, God blesses us. Yes. And we need to continue to trust Him. It's so easy to fret and fume. But the Bible says, fret not us. Don't be afraid. That's one of the phrases that we find in the Bible more than anything else. Fear not. We don't have anything to fear. Why should we fear? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? He's here. God's in heaven, yes, but His Spirit is here. And we can trust Him for that. And here we find Peter. He wants to go and tell the church, hey, guess what God did this time? Here I am. Okay. And he went out and he decided he was going to go. When he realized what had happened and that he was free, he went, it says in verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Now they lived in Jerusalem, it wasn't a big house. This is where the church met, right? And apparently, maybe they were somewhat wealthy, they were all gathered together there praying. So here we are. They were praying. So Peter goes up and knocks on the door, keeps on knocking, keeps on knocking. One of the servant girls, who said Rhoda, came to the door and she heard his voice. Peter said, hey, it's me, I'm Peter, I'm here ready to come in. A present is letting in. She goes back in to tell everybody else. She's confused, I guess. It is strange how that is. But for gladness it is. She was so happy that she heard Peter's voice that she went back in to tell the rest of them. To share the good news. You remember when they had the resurrection when Jesus arose from the dead? The women went immediately to go tell them. Go tell my brethren. Let them know the good news, right? You know, and thinking of that, you know, Jesus arose a long time ago, right? A long, long time ago. And we need to realize that He is still living today.
Amen.
Right? He's not dead. We don't have to be glum about it. Rejoice! Jesus Christ is alive. And we can trust in Him. And that's what Peter's saying here. Hey, I want you to know, I'm not in prison anymore. Here I am. And she knew Peter's voice. She went back and told the others. And they said, oh, you're crazy. It can't be Peter. He's in jail. He's in prison. Now, think of this. These people had been praying around the clock for Peter. What did they expect God to do? Did they expect Him to release it? Apparently not. What do you think? Where's your faith? You know, when you pray about something, do you believe that God's going to do something? Well, these people, apparently, they didn't really expect Peter to be there. Nope. And so he continued knocking. And finally, they went to the door. Maybe it's his angel. You ever heard of a guardian angel? Do you have a guardian angel? Someone to watch over you? You know, we wonder about that. Sometimes in the scripture it talks about the angels, guarding people, helping in various ways. Elijah over there, the enemy was surrounded. His servant was all worried that they were going to overtake him. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And around and about this other army, there was a huge army of angels that were, you couldn't see unless God would allow you to see it. So, you know, God is able to help. And that's what we find here. God answers their prayer even though their faith was weak. I don't think they had a great deal of faith.
I mean,
they didn't really expect Peter to be out. They thought, well, it must be his angel. So anyhow, we find here Peter kept on knocking until finally came. And he motioned to them and he said, hold your peace, be quiet. Just listen to what I have to say. The Lord has brought me out of the prison. He said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. Now, this might be a little confusing. James has been healed, right? That's James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. And he's dead. Now, this James is the leader of the church, the one who would be the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, right? So they have the same name, but anyway, there's a lot of James throughout the scripture. Anyhow, that's what he's saying. Go tell him. Tell him and the brethren. And he departed and went into another. Now here is why Peter's going to go into the background. You know. You might say, well, you know, before when they were arrested and were released by the angels, the apostles, God told them, go to the temple and preach. And they did. Okay? Now this time God didn't tell them that, so Peter went someplace else. He went into hiding because he knew that if they caught him, he was going to be killed. So anyhow, we find that God does not always work in the same way every time. And we have to be able to listen to his voice and follow him. So we find here that Peter now is going to be saved. He's going to go away. Excuse me. And now they're all looking for him. The soldiers are looking for Peter. Where could he go? He was chained to these two men. There were two others outside the cell. How did he get away? And they were looking all over for him. And it says the king, Herod, he was looking for him too, and when he could not find him, what did he do? He blamed the guards and had them executed. He had killed somebody, right? You know, that's the way these guys are. And here we find that he commanded that they be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and sounding strong there and making his speech. So we find God's going to work him over. He's not too pleased with it to begin with. He's already killed James. He arrested Peter. Now he's going down there. And the people are listening to him. He had been having a hard time with Tyre and Sidon, two of the cities there on the coast. And now they're trying to make friends with him again. So they come and they tell him, you know, he's making a speech. And they said, what? It is the voice of a God and not of a man. Oh, how eloquent can you be? And here he is, this wonderful speaker. And he sounds like a God. and they're trying to butter him up. But what does it say? Immediately, the angel of the Lord. Now, I don't know if that's the same one or not, but it was the angel of the Lord that went and released him. And now it says the angel of the Lord appeared, smote him because he did not give God the glory. He took the glory to himself. And God finished him off. That's the end of King Herod Agrippa. Because he did not give God the glory. But the word of God grew and multiplied. What a contrast, huh? Here's this wicked king struck down, eaten of worms. Ooh. How do you like this? You know, they tell us that there are these things inside of us. I've been reading about that somewhat. You know, parasites and all of these kinds of things that inhabit our bodies. We have to keep them under control. If we don't, they'll eat us up, right? Well, that's what happened here. God just said, okay, that's it. Finish him off. And it says, but the word of God grew among us. What a contrast. So, with the passing of this evil king, God was able to reach more people. The word of God went forth without difficulty. And the enemy was gone, and now we have freedom to proclaim the gospel. So the word of God grew and multiplied. In spite of the persecution and opposition, spreading of the gospel continued to bring more and more people to the Lord. So here, and then he closes out with Barnabas and Saul. They're coming back to Jerusalem after their trip there, helping the church. And so they come back and they bring John and Mark with them. And John and Mark, of course, lived in Jerusalem. We saw that. This is where the prayer meeting was taking place, his home. And so they bring him with them, and we'll find out what they do later. They're going on the mission. And they're taking this young man along with them. We know that it doesn't all work out too well, but anyhow, they're going to do it. Okay, so we find here all those things, power is great. It's no match for the almighty power of God. Through prayer, believers have access to this wonderful source of power. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we would ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isn't that wonderful? God is able to do great and mighty things through his people. He always uses people. And we just need to fit in. For the one who refuses to accept God's love and grace in Christ, there is nothing left but God's wrath. You know, God is merciful. God is love. But he also is holy and righteous. And if people do not respond, then they have to suffer the wrath of God. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for this glorious story we have seen in your word today. We thank you for Peter. We thank you for your people that were praying. And Father, it's just to see the answer to prayer, and they weren't even expecting you to do that. And we praise you for the message that is to us. You hear and you answer prayer. May we trust you this week as we bring our prayers to you throughout the week, that you will move and you will work and you will accomplish your purposes. And Father, we praise you that you did deliver him that day. We praise you for all of us here today as believers in Jesus. We have been delivered from our sins and given eternal life. The chains fell off, as it says, and can it be? Father, we praise you that we go forth today reminded of that as well. May we serve you faithfully, walk by your Spirit, and see you do great and mighty things. Thank you for this hour together. We commit ourselves to you now as we head out. Bless the fellowship after the service, and we pray for your protection as we head out. In Jesus' name.